Kathleen Levy. She is with the LSJ.com, and she's on the other end of our line. Kathleen, how are you?
Great, Tony. How are you?
Good. The family's good?
Excellent.
All right. Let's talk about a couple of stories. The first one I wanted to talk about was kind of came out of the blue, but you wrote a fascinating story about Michigan's forest. Where'd you get that idea? And tell us about it.
Well, you know, we have a new section in our newspaper that runs on Thursdays and also a website, which is lsj.com/Michigander. We have, our readers have told us that they are very interested in issues that involve the entire state of Michigan, that you know, where we kind of go beyond Lansing. And so this new section and this new part of our website, we are looking at some of the issues that affect Michigan. And Michigan has more forest than most states. You know, landmass size, we're at like number 22, but forest, we're number 10 for forested land. People love their forests, and we said, let's take a look at them. Let's see how healthy they are. Let's see how well-managed they are. And the good news is that there are some issues, but they are well-managed, and we have lots of trees for everyone.
All right. We always like digging into controversy and finding out resolutions for that. What are their challenges?
Well, you know, the challenges, some of the challenges to the forests are foreign invaders, especially insect pests. We all are aware of the emerald ash borer, which threatens about 800 million ash trees in the state, has taken out literally tens of millions of ash trees over the past few years since it was discovered. Insect pests like that, there are also fungal pests and pathogens that they are trying to determine that could affect oak trees, walnut trees, and spruce trees in the future. And so scientists are working very hard to identify what is causing those things to happen and find ways to counteract them.
And tell us some of the good things about Michigan's forest.
Well, you know, the good thing about Michigan's forests is that they are very diverse. We have many, many, many different kinds of trees, and that is healthy because even if we lose all the ash trees, for example, there are still many other trees that nothing is going to be entirely defoliated and destroyed like the Dutch elm disease in urban cities earlier, you know, about 30, 40 years ago. Michigan's forests have are fantastic habitats for many, many animals, including the jack pine forests in northern Michigan, which are home to the Kirtland warbler, which lives only in Michigan. You know, we have some fantastic diversity of wildlife, including plants and animals, and forests harbor them.
And are folks visiting the forest?
Yes. One of the things that is helping that is we have about 4 million acres of public forest that it is state-owned. And the way, since they have changed the system of getting into the state forest and you can get add a $10 cost to your license plate and then visit any state park around the state, that's kind of boosting attendance. Also, the Pure Michigan campaign has been very helpful at focusing on what Michigan has to offer and bringing people out into the woods and the environment.
Kathleen, found another story online this morning at LSJ.com that Alan Miller had the top byline, but you were right there with Alan, and it discusses some school districts are seeing red again. Many have dipped into savings plans to cut plan cuts to balance budgets, so economically, many of our school districts are still struggling.
Yeah, this is a continuing issue. We may recall that Michigan went into a recession state in 2002, much earlier than the rest of the country. And our school funding formula is based on revenue from sales tax. When people stop spending things, there's less money for schools. And so the formula for funding schools is not working the best in the economic recession, which means, and then of course, the legislature and the governor have also cut some of the funding for schools over the past couple of years. So we're kind of waiting to see how the legislature decides to go, whether they will go with the governor's recommendation that school funding not be cut again this year. But basically what this means is that schools have a smaller amount of money to work with each. You know, some of them are getting approximately the same amount in state aid per student that they were 7-8 years ago. So they're trying to do a lot more with less, and that means that some cuts are inevitable.
Kathleen, I'd like to own some stock in Dean Transportation because throughout mid-Michigan, many school districts are getting rid of their bus fleets altogether, if not getting out of the business and either stopping that service or having companies like Dean provide those services.
Right, and that's a trend. I think this privatization of services is kind of a trend. It's something the governor has been encouraging, and it can save the school district quite a bit of money. Part of the reason for that is that for every dollar they pay a district employee, they have to put 24 cents into the retirement system. They can pay a bus driver or a custodian almost the same amount of money by contracting through them, but they don't have to pay the retirement funds. That's up to the private company. So the school districts can save money by doing that, and the governor is encouraging it. And so we're probably going to see a lot more of that in the future.
And many of these school districts are trying to sell off assets, including buildings and land.
Yes. And East Lansing just sold, for example, its administration building for $2.2 million. Lansing has its administration building and some other properties on the market. And I think we're going to see more consolidation of that, too. Many, you know, Waverly and Grand Ledge and Charlotte already have closed a number of buildings. And, you know, it costs a lot of money to operate a building. So if you can cut the number of buildings and operate more efficiently, you will save money. But it's a tough issue because people are very attached to their buildings.
Now, Kathleen, even though there have been many cuts in many school districts, districts like Williamston have added full-time kindergarten, and many other districts will follow suit.
Yes, the legislature last year had put in a requirement that schools, in order to get full-time pupil state aid for a kindergarten student, that kindergarten student has to be in school all day. And the schools used to get full-time state aid for a half-day kindergarten student. So they are all that was put in last year and then suspended. It is in the bill for this year and is expected to pass. So they're getting ready to offer full-time kindergarten. You know, there's a lot of people who believe that full-time kindergarten is a fantastic thing because it gets kids, keeps them in a learning-rich environment for a longer time, but it does cost money to do that.
Kathleen, you've been following the continuing saga of the Lansing School District in their efforts to try and balance their budget. They're $17 million in the hole. How are they doing in trying to find resolution for that deficit?
Well, they have a certain amount of money. They are most likely to dip into their fund balance to help solve that also. They're also looking for, School Board President Myra Ford told me that they will be looking at attempting to use what they call categorical money. This is federal money that is designated for certain purposes. They'll be looking for that kind of money to try to help switch things out of the general fund and kind of boost the amount that remains in the general fund by using other monies for that. She believes that they will have a balanced budget, and she's pretty confident that there won't be. Now, remember, they are already closing Otto Middle School and two elementary schools, and there is a savings of about $2.5 million connected with that. They will also be, looking at other efficiencies.
All right. Along the lines of where's Waldo, where's T.C. Wallace? Do we know where Mr. Wallace has resurfaced?
You know, he has been doing some consulting work, is my understanding, and that he is still an employee of the school district until June 30th.
All right. Kathleen Levy is the fine writer with LSJ.com. You can go there and find all the work she's involved with. Kathleen, thanks so much. We'll talk with you soon.